had a good Thanksgiving, a great Thanksgiving. Yeah? How many of us are about 5 pounds lighter? Really? Lighter? I want to know your secret. Well, that happened. It's good. It's good to be with family and friends, isn't it? Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving can be a blessing, or it can be a challenging time. Holidays are just filled with emotions flying in every which direction. And so it's really important to be anchored in the Spirit as we go through these holidays that are upon us right now. So here we go. It's Christmas time. How many of you have your Christmas tree up? For real, you do? We actually... How many of you started? Only a few? Well, we did something we've never done before. We had four of the grandchildren over yesterday, and a couple of our kids. And so we started doing that. Never, ever, ever have we ever done that Thanksgiving weekend. But they were all in one place, and we looked at the schedules of some of them, and we thought we would try it. We didn't get very far. But, the green thing is that's about it. But it was a lot of fun. So we just love to be established that way. All right, here they go. I can't wait for this. I keep hearing, you're going to be so surprised. This amazing thing for Kingdom Kids. So I can't wait. Whenever that is, Christmas Sunday, I think it is. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm right. Good. Which is the Sunday before the actual celebration of Christmas. So bring your family and friends. There's a lot going on that morning. So it's going to be a big celebration for us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just greetings from Pastor Jose. He is back in Maputo. Actually, as soon as he got to Maputo this week, he left in the middle of the night on Wednesday, so it's really Thanksgiving morning. So we were at the airport with him in the middle of the night to start our Thanksgiving celebration, which was good. And he arrived, I think it was Friday afternoon, in Maputo, and the next day he took off to go to Pemba. So he's up in Pemba for a week, because Heidi wanted him up there, and he knew that. And that was good with his family and such. And it's been a long time for him. But he's looking forward to a celebration of time, which he knows is coming. But he wants you to know that he's was very blessed to be here, very blessed to be in America. He made a lot of new friends and contacts, which are new friends and contacts of ours as well, which is very fun, very cool people and great spirits, just love Jesus with everything. Desiring no compromise and all the things that we want to see in our lives. So I'm excited about that, for this season upon us in 2014 as we kind of roll into that. Just a lot of great extremes going on. And I think when we sing songs, worship songs that talk about, Lord, the wide way looks appealing, but I really want to enter in through the narrow gate, is really the posture that he wants our hearts to take and to remain in so that we're very safe. Because he loves us so much. He wants us to be good. He wants us to be okay. He wants us to be safe. All those good things. So the Lord is really working in all of our hearts right now. My niece, Lori Ann, my Auntie Ann's daughter, got engaged and is going to be married. Really excited about that. And that took place Thanksgiving night. So that's out in California. And she's coming in tomorrow with her husband. It's just been fun, you know, in the midst of all kinds of different things going on. So we just need to keep our eyes on the Lord and celebrate and remain thankful. Be thankful and remain thankful, and that will change everything in our lives. It really does. Thankfulness is a quality that Jesus is, not has, but he is. He is thankfulness. He is Thanksgiving. And when we're very thankful, grateful people, we can easily receive. We can receive what he says, what he does, what his word says, and the hunger that we'll have because of that will stir up even more and more and more. So I think we've all been thinking and talking about food and such and dealing with food and for this Thanksgiving weekend and going right now into the Christmas season, Christmas holiday. It's kind of interesting that we have just a month between these two holidays, celebrations and Thanksgiving is, I believe, really meant by the Lord to prepare us for what's coming up. I really think it's part of the preparation. It's part of the celebration of, here we go, preparing our hearts for the new celebration of Jesus was born, came into this world for salvation. So I'm excited about that. I have some verses that I wanted to go through with you today that I thought would be very helpful in continuing to establish us. Pastor Jose gave an amazing message, an impartation on Tuesday, and I really, really encourage you to listen to it. I never know what he's going to do or say. He's a very surprising human being. He just gets filled with the Spirit and overwhelms and just dumps the Spirit of God wherever he goes. I love that. He just leaks out, as Bill Johnson says, the Holy Spirit. And his words to us, hi there, are very convicting and hopefully penetrating to our hearts. And he was really referring a lot to the Word of God. And I was so excited about that. I was like, wow, this is great. He must have known what would really be a useful thing for each one of us to anchor ourselves even more and more and more and more and more. I started writing some notes down last night, and then my computer just went kaputz, as Carl knows now this morning. And so I've had some issues with that. So I didn't get to re-listen to the whole thing. I already did once, but I wanted to do it again because I just love being fed. Kind of like Thanksgiving, you eat the leftovers the next day, but they all seem even better. Not that this is leftover, but I just think that the Lord is saying, feed yourselves, kids. Feed yourselves on my word. So he was very, very intense. It's like, whoa. And when his eyes bug out, you know, which I call it, I said, I took him home and I said, you were possessed by the Holy Spirit again. He goes, oh, that's great. But the word that he gave was very strong. And I was like, wow, can we receive it? Can we take it? And I believe if God gives it, then we can take it because he prepares us for that. He doesn't have us running out the door with our tails between our legs, feeling bad and low and condemned. He takes and he gives it to us so that we will rise up in who we are. He says, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be filled up. I want you to be strong. I want you to be mighty. I want that for you. And the Word of God will provide that. And he is the foundation, the Word. And the word that we read, because he is the foundation of everything. For all of our dreams, all of our visions, all of our words and all that. So that we're very balanced, but not balanced in the sense of shutting out extreme or risk-taking in the kingdom, but balanced in terms of being grounded. You know, that's a good time of balance. But sometimes we use the word balance to kind of maintain the wide road because it's more comfortable. And Jesus says, my balance takes you through the narrow road. Yeah, that's a good word. So anyway, one of the things that I did write and circle that I thought would be interesting for us to look at, as he says, he quoted, I believe it was 2 Timothy 2:2, he was talking about Paul and Timothy and their relationship. And he just went into that, and I thought it was extremely exciting and interesting because it's so clear in the word what he's saying, I believe. And so he was exhorting us to take a look at Paul and Timothy's life and relationship together. But with that in mind, he talked about us being qualified. And he said that we will be hungry for the word as when we're qualified from the place that he puts us and how he does that in our life. And if we vary from that, if we move from that in a way that would not be helpful for us, then there can be, we could be almost standing in a rainstorm and the umbrella's over here, and we're getting wet, and not a good wet, when the umbrella needs to be here. So he's really caring about us. The Lord cares about our hearts, cares about our lives, and he loves us so much. He says, I want you to know you who you are, not just up here in the mind, but in your heart. More and more and more, so that you, as I mentioned in a vision, I did have a picture, and I did have a couple Tuesdays ago, of a car that has four tires. God gave me this picture in a rather intoxicated state I was in, and it just was kind of funny to me, so I was giving it. But this car had four tires, which cars do, mostly, and it was tilted on the side, because two of the tires were grounded on this narrow road, and the other two were up in the air, they weren't together. So it was though the balance and the alignment wasn't properly working. And so the Lord wanted us to see that it's very potentially dangerous. It might look like a lot of fun, but it leads to destruction. And he wants us to be centered, and he wants us to be aligned with his word very clearly. So what he said, just two things I think I circled, was that as we are really grounded in the word, there will be something that will push us, and not provoke us, but push us. And sometimes that pushing is the word of God inside of us. Sometimes we might feel that we're being pushed And it's a good push. That's the word of God. And it might come from our initial reading, and it might come from someone else speaking it. It might come from you hearing something from me based on the word of God or the word of God directly. And you will feel a push inside. That can be a really good thing because the Lord is wanting to do that. And sometimes we take that word and then we back up and say, hey, I don't like that. And sometimes the Lord says, I know, but it's good for you. So you need the word of God because that will establish you. So we need the word very, very clearly, more and more in our life. He said that we become very contagious. Cholera is contagious in Africa. And for us to be contagious through the word of God spilling out of our life so that we aren't fooled, we have to die to have our spiritual eyes open. We have to die to have our spiritual eyes open. So when we die, and that doesn't sound like fun, but when we really die to ourselves completely, our spiritual eyes will pop open. They will come open, and then we will see. Sometimes we reverse it, and we think, God, open my eyes, open my eyes. He says, I am trying. Will you please die? Because you were crucified with me. So that looks like something. So when we talk about that, we want to go lower. We want to die more. We want to, and we're not threatened by that because that will allow our spiritual eyes to be open. And he says when that doesn't happen, there's a laziness that comes over us. Do you ever want to sleep in and just not get up? You guys want to be lazy today? And that's good. I just want to have a Saturday morning, hopefully not a Sunday, but a Saturday morning, you know, where it's like, I just want to stay in bed. I want to read the paper. Or I want to have breakfast in bed. Or I want to have a cup of coffee and I just don't want to get up. I don't want to shovel snow. I don't want to cook dinner. I don't want to do anything. I just want to be lazy. And that's a good thing. But if that happened a lot, that possibly would cause a problem. So the Lord wants us not to become lazy in the spirit. He wants us to be very diligent in studying the word, showing ourselves approved, knowing exactly what the word is saying and doing, and being led. And so when we're led through his word, then we won't be led by principles. We will have principles, but we'll be led by his spirit in the presence, with his principles making a whole lot of sense to us. He's very smart. God is very smart. So he's calling us to dive into the word more. And I believe that was the clarion wake-up call again that Pastor Jose was giving on Tuesday. I think it'll encourage you. I got some feedback from people, emails and such, that was really stirring. And I thought, oh, wow, how cool. Thank you for those of you who sent those. Very encouraged by Tuesday's message. So it's on the podcast. That probably go listen to it and feed yourself. And let the Lord speak to your heart, you know. Don't be thinking about other people. Think of yourself. Because it's for those who, you know, those who have ears to hear. So I was very, very strengthened by it myself. And I'm in the Word a lot. But I'm in the Word more than ever before. So this is a great time in my life. Anyway, he says that we don't want to get lazy. And when we're lazy, we talk too much. And then we won't see that we're being lazy. We can block ourselves by talking so much and not doing what we're supposed to do. We need to release this word to others because people are dying. So it's very strong that way. He talked about the word, the Spirit of God transforming you through the word, and you will not, you will not discuss problems you were discussing yesterday. In other words, the word will be used to solve your problems. So I was telling one of my family members this weekend, I said, you know, with the word in the center, amongst all of us, between us, however you want to say that, everything can be solved with the word if we want to listen to what the word of God says. I mean, Solomon understood that as a very wise king at that time in his life. He was able to discern many things because of the great wisdom that he had from God. And God gave him what he needed at that time. Unfortunately, he didn't follow that throughout all the way to the end. He didn't finish well, in the sense that he encountered a lot of different struggles because he was led astray. But he started out well. And so when we're looking at some of the lives of the people in church or in the Old Testament, even the New Testament, we don't want to point a finger and say, aha, but we want to see some patterns so that we can escape those patterns ourselves and be very wise in our dealings and handlings. I was reading this morning. Oh, I had a crazy morning. My computer was on the fritz. I couldn't find my glasses. I actually got to church here, and I thought I had my glasses with me. And I got in the parking lot, I don't have them up here. So I went back home and got them and was one of those. And I was laughing as I was talking to Cynthia, going, this is crazy. I'll be there soon. So I called her to let her know. People were wondering where I was. I was in the Word at home, but also having to go back again. My husband didn't know that. So I'm back. But I want to show you, I want to go through some words with you, some of the words. And there's one Psalm 119, 133. And if I could just make a suggestion that you write these down. We're also going to go through with as much time as we have Matthew 15 and 16. I mean, that's a lot of scripture. But I really exhort you today. It's not anything new. We always exhort you to get in the Word, stay in the Word, be in the Word more and more. But we're also asking that you would actually do it. And so ask the Lord to transform you through the word, that would be great, more and more. But if you can put this word up, establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me, in Psalm 119. This is really helpful, even when you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is a good cry for your heart in the morning. When we say, good morning, Holy Spirit, I love you, Holy Spirit, and we cry that out, then we say something, establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. You see, the Lord cares about any dominion that would take root in our heart in any way. That there would be something that would be not of the Lord, that could bring confusion, that could bring mistrust, that could bring suspicion, that could bring gossip, slander, you name anything in the New Testament that is not pleasing to Jesus. He says, you know what, with the word moving in me and you, he says, that cannot happen, that will not happen, because the Lord shows us in 2 Peter 1 that he will keep our foot from stumbling. It's like, what? You know, we don't have to stumble. I think that's the challenge of ages. Like, oh, yeah, but everybody sins. Well, we don't have to. And that's the good news of the cross, is that we don't have to. And when we do sin, we can sin in our heart. We can sin in our attitudes, through our attitudes, our actions, our thinking, that we embrace anything that is not Jesus Christ, period. And we call it that, is sin, anything. It's not just what is visible to the eye, like that sin, and many times it's a condition that we don't realize, and God wants to show us that, and he'll do it through our word. That's how humility is really birthed. So I thought that was a really good verse. We don't want any iniquity to have dominion, because he's given us dominion. He has, but he says you won't walk in that dominion if there's iniquity in you. And that iniquity is rising in these last days, because Pastor Josiah was saying, Meltar was saying, everybody that you read and listen to, if you do that with others in the body of Christ, they're saying, we're in the last days, and this big wave is coming. And what we don't want is any little wave to hit us where we don't really see accurately and clearly. We're seeing through our thinking rather than what our spirit is really seeing based on the Word of God. And if we hold fast to the Word, and that will be our confession of faith, we'll be okay. We really will. If we want that Word to expand in us, then we will spend a lot of time in the presence of the Lord, soaking, listening, receiving, and he'll speak the Word to us. But he'll also fill us up with the Word. He says, let me hide that Word as a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path in my heart, that I wouldn't sin against you. The Lord doesn't want us to do that, because he knows that will block us from clearly hearing and receiving. And if we don't clearly hear and receive, and we think we are, we can step into a place, even in our own giftings and callings, that we would probably end up regretting later. God doesn't want us to live in regret, because he loves us so much. He cares about us so much. So hopefully that's a stirring for each one of us as we enter into this. They're having fun. Into this holiday season, that more word would be the desire of your heart. What do you want for Christmas? More word in my family, more word in my heart, more word in the morning, more word at night, while I lay down and continue to die to myself. And if we do that, oh my gosh, there'll be transformation, much transformation. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of things that are in the word, and these are Proverbs 19:20. You can put that one up. Yeah. Okay, Proverbs 18:19 and 20. Okay, This is something in the holiday season, especially with holidays coming up and people get together. Oh, look at this. Now, this is something really important because it's very strong. And it's sobering because the Lord is seeing something in it. He's not pointing a finger. He's giving us help. He's saying, guard your heart against anything that could be considered offense. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. Sometimes we hide behind what we say is a hurt. And a hurt, it may sting, but it may be there because offense has been there. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Well, think about this. Think about Uncle George from... If you have an Uncle George, I don't have one, so I'm just saying. Okay? Uncle George from whenever, 20 years ago or something. And his feathers have been ruffled by whatever. Now take a look at what the Lord says will happen. And these are principles in Scripture. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And contentions are like the bars of a citadel. What? These are prison bars of a jail. The contentions or the thinkings and the feelings and the entertainment of what is surrounding offense are that strong. They just don't go away with time. Can't happen.
The next verse is, okay, and with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Now, that's a real significant part. I was reading these verses together, so I thought, that's probably a good idea, because God wants us to know what the fruit of this will be. Okay, and I was reading this, and I thought, gosh, Lord, the fruit of a man's mouth is following the word about offense. The fruit of a man's mouth with the fruit of what comes out of the mouth. In other words, if there's offense, something will rise up, and there will be fruit that will come from it. Fruit comes from offense. You can't hide it. You can for a short time, but eventually it will show. And eventually it will rise up. And it says here that the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied with that fruit. Now, and if it's good fruit, there will be a good, sweet, satisfying inside, which will lead to a hunger for more of the Lord. Okay? A satisfaction of, yes, I'm in his presence. This is good. I want more of him. When we're satisfied in the presence of the Lord, we want more of him and less of anything that would fall into this category. Does it make sense? But if we have something that is not from the Spirit of God and it remains, it will produce fruit. And this fruit will satisfy the stomach, but there will be a hungering again. Because we eliminate, don't we? Mm-hmm. And there'll be a hungering again. And this hunger has to be fed. There will have to be another feeding. And the feeding will be on a positive note if there's been negative feeding. Negative breeds negative, breeds negative. Positive breeds positive, breeds positive. And then the fruit therein increases. One increases us to hunger more after things of the Spirit, more after the Lord, more after peace, more after God's way, going lower, lowering ourselves, wanting to die more, all of those things. And then the other produces just the opposite, and it will increase. And as that increases, as negativity, if it's not positive, will increase, then there's a satisfaction there, like, oh, I feel good. I feel peaceful, but it won't be the peace of the Lord. It will be a peace that satisfies, or a false peace that satisfies to a point where I can deal with something, and then I will have to feed that again, because more negativity will come, and then the fruit therein is produced, and it multiplies. This is great. I never know what's going on back here. They tell me late. I'm sure it's good. I know it's good. But do you see this? God is teaching us something, and he's saying, take these things seriously. They're words of life. They can help us on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day or wherever, you know, in our family lives, in our relationships at work. And if we don't take this so seriously for ourselves, do you know what happens? We can actually come into agreement ourselves with something that is not fruitful for the kingdom, really, and not even know it. And we can become confused, we can become blinded, and we can become, something that's not going to be helpful in the Lord getting through to us. We don't want to have bars like a citadel at all. We don't want that. Maybe we're offended at the Lord. I mean, that's kind of crazy since he doesn't do anything wrong. But we do that. We just get mad. It's like, I've tried everything. I've stood in faith. My marriage didn't turn around. My life didn't turn around. My husband didn't turn around. My wife didn't turn around. My kid, my job, my finances, my ministry, my. Oh, my. And we can become offended. But it's not a very spiritual thing to do, we think. So we won't say that. We'll become offended elsewhere. You know, offense is offense is offense. And God says, call it what it is because it's ugly. You are not ugly. I am not ugly. I am beautiful. You are beautiful. I am good. You are good. Okay, we have good hearts from the Lord when we're born again. But at the same time, the Lord is showing us what the condition can be if we don't guard ourselves this way. He's very serious about that because of the fruit that can come. So hopefully, that'll be a positive thing. I was watching two of my grandkids, four were there, but two had left, and then two more were there. And one of the younger ones was following the older one. It was Haley. Haley, my three-year-old, and Judah, my five-year-old. And Haley was watching Judah, and listening to Judah and following him around. And it's not always that way. You know, the kids are kids. We know that. But I was watching this. Pastor Bill was watching this and telling me about it, that he was very peaceful and very calming. And Haley is too. But I'm just saying, in this situation, he was watching. It was a spiritual picture. And she was following his way because he was very, very peaceful, I guess is the word. I don't know. I wasn't there. Peaceful and easy. And she was following. And she's loving too, and the little ones will follow her. So that's not the point. It's not about Haley versus Judah. It's about the fact that little ones who are looking up will follow. And so we need to follow. Paul was, Pastor Jose was talking about that. Timothy followed Paul, and he became an imitator of the Jesus in Paul, definitely an imitator of his life. And that's a good thing. So I just thought that was a fun word picture yesterday. So another verse to look at that I thought was helpful is, where is it? Proverbs 19:13-15. Thanks, Carly. Now these are just some helpful things to put in your hip pocket, but more than that, to do something with, because they're transforming for your life. All right? You put the Word of God in the center, oh my gosh, things will change. People may not listen to you, but you will change. If people will all do this, all brothers and sisters in Christ, put the Word of God right there, everything will change so that there will be no offense that remains. God does that for us. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. I read this, and it hit me. It's like, I'm a wife. I have no right to ever be contentious. Because if I am, it's going to bring reproach on my husband. Contentious. Fighting. Argumentative. Resistant. I can't do that. The fruit of my life as a wife will affect my husband. That's not good. Constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers. I need to be prudent. A prudent wife is one who will say, you know what? My heart in this home is to lay down a foundation of the Word. I'm not speaking for myself. And so the Word of God is so important. In our house on Thanksgiving, this is what we did this Thanksgiving. We printed off and read off a psalm to bless the generations. My mother and father were there and at my house, and our children and our grandchildren. And these generations were there, and we read this. Whether people receive or not is their choice, but reading a beautiful, beautiful psalm over the family to release blessing, because the fruit of our mouth will release blessing if it's good, if it's positive. So, you know, when you have words like this, like I've been reading the Proverbs a lot in recent months, going, man, these are strong. Wow, they're convicting. Holy moly, I need to listen, you know. Okay, thank you, Lord. God, thank you for the way to walk the narrow road, because you're not mad at us. But at the same time, you love us enough that you want us to change so we can carry the weight of what's coming. He wants us to carry. And you're carriers, right? Of his glory? Right. So that's what he's saying to us. So let's look in our Bibles. What's the time? Where are we right now? Thank you. Man, you have a good voice. Who said that? That's an evangelistic voice, girl. Man. Yeah. let's look at Matthew 15 and 16, if we can. That would be good. I was going to look ahead here. I've been feasting in here in Matthew 15 and 16. but before we get into some of it, excuse me, I just want to give a little bit of a background here in Matthew. Right before we get into Matthew 15, the 5,000 were fed. I'm not going to go into that, the healing or the feeding of the 5,000. That's not what we're talking about today. But right before that, in chapter 14, is the feeding of the 5,000. And then, excuse me, the scripture gets into tradition and commandment and the heart of man. And then, as Jesus is such a wonderful teacher, he goes into the feeding of the 4,000. So he starts with 5,000, and then he goes to the 4,000. But in between that time, he's teaching us. Like when I'm reading scripture, I really like to know what's going on before, during, and after, so I can get the bigger picture. And when I read the word, I want to cross-reference. I want to read what he's saying at that time so that my understanding won't be limited. I can read the words. I'm an intelligent human. I can read the words and get like, okay, I can read that. But what I want is spiritual understanding. That's what I want. And I believe that's what God has for us. I want more. I want spiritual revelation. I want understanding of why are you saying this now? What are you doing with this now for my life? How will that look for me? And so when Jesus spoke about the 4,000 in chapter 15, he then goes into chapter 16 about the Pharisees rising up and testing Jesus. And I just found it interesting because he weaves that in through these mighty, mighty miracles of standing in supernatural. So here's the picture. Supernatural Jesus, living supernaturally, is doing supernatural things, modeling that for his kids, fathers, sons, and daughters, his disciples, his followers. But he's got crowds of people around him, and he has Pharisees and Sadducees within that as well. So he's got, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Ash. He's got all kinds of people listening, but he's very strong. He says, you know what? I am no respecter of persons. And when I address you, Pharisees and Sadducees, you're in the throng of people. They're listening. They're watching because I don't want them to fall into the trap that you obviously have fallen into. And I want them to learn. I want them to follow my word. I am the word, so follow me. So he weaves these instructions. He doesn't isolate them and say, okay, guys, I'm going to give you the Bible, and here's a chapter just for Pharisees and Sadducees. And then the rest is all the supernatural stuff. You know, Jesus wasn't like that. He's very, very clear that he's saying, I've got a word for you. And yes, many times he's speaking in parables and hiding things from people because they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. And he's testing them and also desiring them to come out of this. What did he mean? What did he say? That's what he wanted to do. And that's what he's doing. So read this, because we won't finish it all today. But read chapter 15 and 16 together and see what the Lord is speaking without pointing fingers. Any finger pointing should go this way, right there, and say, "Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Speak to me, Holy Spirit." This is how you go lower. I was at a conference actually in August, and one of the things that Heidi Baker spoke to 4,000 people, and this was in the Spirit as she was giving a word from the Lord. I think I may have mentioned it, but it was kind of funny, but it wasn't. She said, "You all are a bunch of dry wood, dry sticks, and you need to burn." Wow. Is that loving? I think so. And I believe for anybody that took that message, she probably was surprised herself. Now, whether she meant you all, every single human being there, or she was saying there is more, I don't know. But I'm not going to get offended and go, "Well, I'm burning. Are you?" God is saying, "I want you to burn for me. I want you to be a raging torch. I want you to be an inferno, that you are so on fire that people will see your fire." Now, people may want to kind of try to put your fire out because that makes somebody else uncomfortable, but don't let that happen. Keep your fire burning. And if it's not burning, let's get lit on fire so we have more fire. That's a good thing. Oh, especially in this season. Okay, so let's take a look at... Let me just say this. At the end of chapter 16, Jesus foretells his death. He speaks about his death, but he had already done a bunch of miracles. He had rebuked and corrected some of the people who weren't seeing eye to eye with him. He had done that because there's a place for that. And then he predicted his death. And then even so, even in the midst of that, he said to Peter, he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are a stumbling block." He was speaking to the spirit that Satan was partnering, or that Peter was partnering with. He loved Peter. He didn't want Peter to entertain doubt, unbelief, negativity. But he said, "You're a stumbling block. I'm sorry. I cannot deal with you this way. And I will not. Because if I listened to you, if I partnered with you, if I connected with your offense in the spirit, then I would go down. And I cannot go down. I will not go down. Because I am a burning one." So you cannot do that. It's very, very important. That's a part that sometimes we forget in Scripture. So Jesus was very strong with his words. He says, "For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's interests." So he was very strong with him. And he wanted Peter to, he knew what Peter would do, but he loved him so much, he still showed him, "This is from my hand to you. You don't realize that you're so close to me. You spend time with the Word. But even so, even when you're spending time with the Word, you're still listening to this up here, calling it God. And I've got to tell you before you do any more damage, because you've done some damage, buddy." And so, you know, he's very loving and very kind in his very strong words. Sometimes we don't like to think about that. But God is saying, that's what love looks like. Sometimes. And he did that actually, not just for his own sake, but he did it for Peter's sake, because he wanted Peter to go, "What?" What? He wanted Peter to do that. But he was also shutting the mouth of the source of the lip flapping that was coming. That's what he was doing, saying, "No, no, no, it's not from my hand. So don't go there." Because the scripture says in Proverbs 18 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. So what we speak is either producing life, and the fruit of it will be seen and enjoyed, good things will happen, or producing death. And sometimes we have to back up and go, "Wow, yeesh." Because we make mistakes. We all are human beings. We don't have to, but we do. And we make mistakes and we sin. And when we go and say, "You know what, I'm really sorry. That came out, sorry." Boom. Turn and get released of that, then you can carry an unoffendable heart. You know, God says, "This is what I'm contending for." This is what he wanted for Peter, an unoffendable heart. Unoffendable. Unoffendable. That you can't be offended. You can't offend a dead person. If we're really dead, it might not feel really swell. Oh, but we'll come back and we'll forgive and not hold offense. You see? It comes down to being dead and dying to ourselves, and then our eyes will pop open that will hold the word so strongly that it might be really hard. It might be a struggle, but God says, the struggle is worth it. I put Peter through the struggle. Let this be your struggle, and it's okay. You're still wonderful. You still fall into Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. You still have every spiritual blessing from above. But please, don't forget this other part of the scripture. Otherwise, you may be a car that tilts up like this. And eventually, that car will not stay on the narrow road and could even come to some destruction. The Lord doesn't want that for any of us. So these are good helps for this season, I believe. But in Matthew 15 and 16, Okay, let me look from here. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. This is chapter 15, verse 1. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? So they tried to trip him up. Who? The Pharisees and scribes. Trip him up. Trip up Jesus. They don't wash their hands before they eat. And he answers with a question. Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Can you go up further, please? For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. In other words, he takes them to the tradition of the Old Testament there. I mean, he hadn't died yet, so this is what he's doing. And he's talking about the commandments here, and he's holding them to that at that point. But remember that Jesus was the fulfillment of the commandments, of the law, rather, excuse me. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. See, very, very scary. He's saying you're dangerous because you have some word, you have some experience, but you're mixing it in a way with the law that you're not seeing, and you're not understanding what I'm here and what I'm actually saying. You don't have the revelation. You have the words that make sense to you. And so you're being ruled by your mind instead of by your heart. Very good to go over again for each one of us. He says, after Jesus called the crowd to him, he said, hear and understand. Now, who's he calling? He's not saying, Pharisees, Sadducees, hello, excuse me, would you go into that room over there and close the door? No, he's calling everyone around him, but he has already put them in their place in the sense of shutting down their religion, saying, excuse me. So the Spirit of God, Jesus, is, there's a conflict with the tradition of man, with the scribes and the Pharisees, with this law approach. There was conflict. And so he was saying, I'm sorry, but I win because I am the Spirit. And so this needs to change. And so he calls everybody together and he says, calls the crowd and he says, hear and understand. It's not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Okay, so he was saying this to everyone. And he gave it to those that would take it back and go, huh? What? What is he saying? He's turning the law into an opportunity for these people to hear with spiritual ears if they would allow themselves to recognize, if you would, who was standing right there. The Spirit of God was there. His presence. The presence of Jesus is presence. So here they are in the presence and they have a choice. Just like in here, if the presence of God is very strong, we have a choice of whether we're going to be caught up in worship. In this season, in the future, we may not have that choice. We'll be slammed on the floor. The power of the presence, thank God. But right now, it appears as though we have that choice. So when we worship the Lord, we hunger more after him. There's more inside that's being stirred up. But yet we might be turning to the side and filing our nails or looking out the window or on our cell phone. So God says, "You, my presence is here. What will you do with me? What will you do with me?" It's like, wow, we need the Word of God to help us stay anchored, stay tethered to the Lord. And we can run and run and run and run and run. But God says, you're not going to run very far because I remember your promises to me and my promises to you. I'm going to pull you back so that you don't really get destroyed. He doesn't want that for us. He really does. He gives us many opportunities. He's so gracious. But isn't it interesting that the verse that I read to you earlier, let's see here. Which one was that about the food? The fruit, yes, in Proverbs 18, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. My question is, what is the product of our lips? What is it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I don't know if I put that up there or not. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Can you put that up for just a second so they can see this? And then we'll come back to it. I read it, but I don't know if we had the fullness of that up there. Had I given that to you, Carr? I didn't do 21. Did I not give you 21? Well, let me read it to you again, guys. And just leave this up, Carr, okay? I had this up. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Then in verse 21, which I'm sorry, Carly, my fault. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So we are to love what comes out of our mouth. We're designed to love it. We can either love it to death or love it to life. We will. What comes from us will produce death, will produce life, and we will love the fruit that comes even from that. And that speaks to us. It says, those who love it will eat its fruit. So here, get this, guys, this picture. So let's suppose we say something positive, very loving and kind and gracious and based on the Word of God and definitely what the Holy Spirit is saying, okay? And this comes out of our mouth. The fruit of that will produce peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit, unity, help, prosperity, healing, togetherness, okay? There will be a run towards that. There'll be an embracing. And this is what pleases God. He loves that. And the Bible says, this particular verse, it says that we will love the fruit of that, which means it will spread. So the more that spreads, the more people are affected. Don't you love that? And that's the way of the kingdom. That's why we were saying when we got back from Mozambique, what was the common thread? It was unity. We were in the Word all the time, in the presence all the time. People were checking themselves because we were all imperfect beings, checking. It's like, okay, Lord, I just want you. I don't want anything but you. So the fruit that was being produced was huge. It was amazing. And then it spilled into all of you when we got back and into the children for Mission Sunday. That's one example that's tangible. Here's another side. Let's suppose there's something that's not positive, okay? It's involving hurt and pain and offense and the things that we've talked about. Whatever you want to label it what you want, but it's not what Jesus would be speaking and saying and doing, okay? Out of that, it says here that we will love the fruit of it. That's really dangerous. It says those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, there will be fruit that's produced, and then we have to keep eating it. More fruit, because it has to satisfy that on the inside. It has to satisfy. It has to be fed. And so we will be hungry for things of the Lord. And we would say, Lord, I want more. Why? Because we're designed to feed the Spirit. We're designed to hunger more after Him. That's the love design. The opposite is the negative design. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if we do walk in something that is death producing, or be like, we need to quickly run to the Lord and go, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? I'm sorry. Ooh, sorry about that. What can I do to fix that, change that? Boom. And we do that. If we're not aware of that, then we need to become aware of that. If someone makes us aware of that, then we try that. If it's not received, there's a possibility that there has been so much fruit from negativity that it can't even be received. That's very dangerous. And that's why you cannot or should never hold offense. because the bars of a citadel are very strong. You see? And God says, I don't want that for you because it will hurt you and it will hurt those around you. It will bring more hurt and pain and destruction and division and discord, disharmony, disunity. Not God. And God says that's where the enemy can come in and go, well, look at that. And God says, no, no, no. I want you to go far and fast. Far and fast. Far and fast. And so if we have anything to have removed from us that might be negative fruit or negativity, or you know, call it what you want, offense, unforgiveness, rejection, hurt, pain that stays there, don't hide behind the words, I just need to be healed. It's true. We need to be healed, but we can hide there because we refuse to apply the word of God. And that brings more pain and more destruction, more division, more disunity. And then people stay together in that. Very wrong. And then we can even think we're so right that we start partnering with something that's wrong. And the enemy's happy. He doesn't want partnering with things that are wrong because God knows it will hurt us. I just get encouraged because God gives us a way of escape always in the Word. Always. He's just so gracious. Okay, flip back. Is it, we have about 10 more minutes or so?
1228.
Not that we're bound by time. However, we do live in America. But thank you. I'm just trying to be mindful. I get caught up in the Word. I love the Word so much. So, you know. Oh, thank you. I don't know if everyone's in agreement, but thank you for that. Okay. Anyway, let's just look at some of these things because I think God's word is speaking to divide in a good way in our hearts so that we have strong marriages, strong relationships, strong, good, strong relationships based on the word. Put the word in the center. Let's see what happens. If we refuse that, that tells us that there's something way beyond what we may even see with our eyes. We may have to back up and say, help Jesus. Woo. Okay. It says, then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? You see, there's the word offense again. And you know, to be honest with you, this morning I was reading it again. I hadn't seen that word offense before. I had read this quickly and torn apart, but maybe it was a different version. But it didn't hit me, or at least it didn't hit me. I've read it, but it didn't hit me like, whoa, oh my goodness. The Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. It's the blind leading the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Now, that's kind of strong. It's like, Jesus, I don't want to be blind. I want to see. I don't want to be blind. And I certainly don't want my actions to be blinding someone else or helping someone who is blind be blinded more. It's a warning from God, a good one. It's like, God, that's my heart. It's so my heart. Is that your heart? If that's your heart, then we'll be willing to say, Holy Spirit, help us. Now think about what's coming up in 3 weeks. And I'm saying this now in preparation, okay? And I say this because when you step out and you're shining with Jesus, sometimes that can stir up a whole lot of things, even in your own family circles. And you might not understand why Uncle George, I'll say that one again, is just rising up. And why is he? Why? Because your shining light is strong. Okay, so you have to be very wise in how to handle these kinds of situations that are coming up, that may come up. I mean, bless God if you have a situation in a family where you don't have any of that ever. How fun is that? But the reality is many times we have situations where it's not always like that. So we have to use a lot of wisdom in that, okay? So maybe this will help for this season. Peter said, explain the parable to us. Now, Peter's his right-hand man. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also, Peter? In other words, he was trying to get to Peter before Peter came to him and said, listen, I know you think you're going to die, but that's not a good thing. Jesus tried very hard to get to Peter. He tried. He said, Peter, you don't get this? I was with the scribes and the Pharisees, And then I have the common folk, if you will, the everyday person on the hillside. That's what I mean by that. And Peter, you still don't get this? Peter, you're not understanding. I'm correcting you. I love you, but you're still kind of a spiritual, there's a thickness here. Would you please take it to my father? I can help you with that. Okay, he's talking to him. That's okay. Let that be for you and I. I'm trying to get through to you, son or daughter. Please, please change here before things get worse so you don't have to have that kind of rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. You know? I mean, I find it loving and kind as I look at and study that life. It's like, Lord, where am I a Peter? Have I been a Peter? I don't want to be a Peter. I'm in process, but I want to learn so that I can see things more clearly, more quickly. And then he says, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? And here we go with this food thing going again. Okay, I mean, this hunger food thing, there's a correlation here and fruit of our lips. But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And those defile the man. Now, wait a minute. Everything that goes into the stomach is eliminated. So in other words, it passes through to be eliminated. It's going to come out of us. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And they actually defile. So if we do fall into a trap or we sin and don't see it or whatever, you know, it defiles us and others. It's meant to by the design of the enemy. And God says, I didn't create you that way. You don't want to be defiled. Go to me and say, hey, Lord, have I been defiled? And have I defiled others? I mean, what a humble question to ask God. And he'll tell us. Or others will. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Now, evil thoughts would be anything that Jesus doesn't say. Evil is the opposite of good. Hate evil, abhor evil, cling to good. Anything that is negative, anything that has offense, anything that is provoking, something that is contentious, something that is maybe some criticism or judgment, things like that, that Jesus is saying, what are you doing? Okay, that's evil. It is evil. You can't call it good. It's evil. We have to call it what it is. And we're going to find that in the Word of God. Sometimes we read a lot of books, you know, and if the books we read don't push us to devour the Word of God, there's a real problem. Real problem. Be careful that way. And that is a warning in the Spirit. Be careful. Be mindful. Because we can become so attuned to doing that. We were talking about that in Mozambique. I'm not against books. Some books. But I'm saying not against reading books. I'm saying that we need to be in the Word, the pure Word, because it's life-producing and it's transforming if we let it. The pure Word of God that we struggle with, that we wrestle with, that we go, ooh, that's okay. As Jesus said, that's good. Go to the Word and don't pull a verse out of context. Read the full picture. You know, when you read about Peter, go back and see what Jesus was doing. Or we can even misrepresent Jesus, which I've seen in books. It's like, oh, wow. Here's your little explanation of what Jesus meant and did and said. How about going back further and go further in front and see what he was really saying and doing? It can be dangerous. So let's stay in the Word, okay? And then let's finish this. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, that sounds icky, thefts, false witness, which is lying, slanders, which is saying things about people, not a good plan. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So Jesus said it, and then he went away. Now he gives an example of the Canaanite woman, the Syrophoenician woman who was talking to Jesus about her situation and said, we're going to wrap this up so you guys can have a little bit of time to go through this yourself at home. And I pray that you do, really, because, you know, sometimes you just may say, well, it was church, I'm done, and I don't need to listen. I really exhort you to do this. I hope you do. And listen to PJ's message. Hope you do that too. But she says, She cries out. So look at where he goes with this. A Canaanite or Syrophoenician woman cries out and says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." And he didn't answer her a word. He wasn't putting her off. He wasn't saying, "Well, listen, I need to be about my father's business." No, no. He was giving her time because he was going to bless her. Make sure you have the right interpretation of the character of Jesus. Some books are not doing that these days. But he did not answer her a word. His disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away because she keeps shouting at us." Mistake. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and bowed down and said, "Lord, help me." In other words, she pressed in. She didn't give up. Jesus knew what she needed to do. Jesus knew that this pressing in, this was going to produce for her the faith that she needed to get the answer. Very, very important. If we give up, we give in, we give over. Give up, give in, give over. Or we stop short. We become short-sighted. We say things that we think are God. We do things we think are God, and they're not God's best. We can fall right into the trap that the Satan is setting for us. We don't want that. We want to be as clean and pure as possible for the sake of the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom. She says, "Help me." He answered and said, "It's not good for you to take the children. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." More food. But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." In other words, she's saying, "I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. I want you and I need you, and I need to know that you're backing me up. I'm going after you. You are the word. I'm going after. I'm digging in. My solution is here. You're my solution. My solution, my solution." Period. That's powerful. And her daughter was healed at once. "Oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." Her daughter was healed at once. Jesus. That's so strong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me just read to you. After this happened, one moment. We'll wrap it up here. Right after this, after he says, "Oh woman, your faith is great," Jesus went along the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. So there was a release of faith. There was a release of healing right there. Look what happens next. Notice the progression. And then he will continue this same thing in chapter 16. You'll see it. Read it together as husband and wife, as friends. Read these things together. It will change everything, I believe. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. He healed all of them. He healed them. He didn't say, "Yeah, you, but not you." He didn't say, "Listen, I'm healing you right now and not you." He healed them. All through Scripture it says when he showed up and he was healing, he was healing. Don't let someone steal that from you with their fancy sounding words. Don't do that. The Lord warned me of that many years ago, and he told me that, and I didn't understand what he was saying. And he said, "There will be an attempt for your heart and belief in healing to be watered down, weakened, or stolen." And I had no idea what he meant. And it surely came, but I remember his word to me. Make sure you understand and get this word clearly about healing, or it will affect you. So the crowd marveled as they saw the... I'm going to do it up here, 31, sorry. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel, Jesus. Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, "I feel compassion for the people." In other words, when someone's hurting, you're going to feel compassion. If you don't have compassion for something that's a big white elephant around you, there's something wrong. I mean real compassion where others feel it. That's the result of this kind of supernatural living. You will feel it. You will have it. It will break your heart to the point of relating as Jesus did. Compassion is a very big key here. He says, I have compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. Hungry. This is physical, but spiritual as well. And then he said, let's do this bread thing. And then he feeds the 4,000. And guess how many loaves this time? 7. And guess how many loaves were left over? 7. And the thing is that God is saying, it's okay, we're not really guessing. But the point is this, that Jesus never stopped demonstrating the power, demonstrating supernatural power, never backed off. He never shrunk back. He didn't. And in the midst of it, he always challenged the religious, always. And he says, kids, I'm going to places I want to take you with me. I'm going to shoot you in the heavens like a rocket. And I want you to keep going and nothing will stop you. And nothing will pull you down. Nothing will cause you to shrink back, to doubt, to fear, to have unbelief. Nothing. There will be nothing because you will be offenseless. You will have a heart that is unoffendable. You will have a heart that is so full of love and compassion and mercy and kindness that you will be used as an opportunity for people to say, I don't like you or this because you are doing what I can't or don't. And that's not fun. And I'm not wanting any of you to be disliked. But I'm saying that persecution will come and follow those who will give their whole life on every front for every reason, which is Jesus. And Jesus was preparing Peter for that. He was preparing. So embrace it, not as a haughty, oh yes, I'm persecuted, but hey, come on, let's step up, let's step in, let's clean ourselves out. Let's get rid of anything that is not Christ-like in any way. Amen? Amen? Amen. And if any of you have any questions about that, I invite you. I am here. Come and talk to me today. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere yet. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. My heart is open, and I believe we have a body of open people here. I thank you, Lord, that you are strong with us because you love us so much and you don't want us to get hurt. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I just release blessing over this precious group of people who I dearly love, my spiritual family here. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, bless them and strengthen them that they would be overcome with your goodness and see that your word is good and it's healthy and helpful to grow us up in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.